Welcome to Juno Afternoon from your community-supported public media station, KTOO, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan. It's Wednesday, September 10th, 2025. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Gonna cheese, hawa, tuxk nusum, salama. Thank you for joining the conversation. You can also join us via our live stream on YouTube at ktoo.org/JPMLive or on KTOO's Instagram and Facebook's pages. Coming up this hour, Nami Juno is here. We talk Suicide Prevention Month and some activities coming up to support that. And around town this weekend, a bevy of one-off performances you don't want to miss. Friday night, Corn and Friends comedy show featuring Corin Hughes and special guests over at the Gold Town. Saturday night, Rory Stitt and the Ruiners feature Rory Stitt performing in Juno after a decades-long hiatus, although there was a little sneak peek show a couple months ago. And on Sunday, it's the second anniversary of the second Sunday Poetry Jam. We chat with the artists and organizers from these events next here on Juno Afternoon.
Hansen Gress, ka eat with the shu yi, we kashuk a yi tin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta khanakaya ha anikach, gunil cheesh.
You're listening to KTOO's Klinget Word of the Week. This week's word comes from Keishi Besikuli. The word this week is teeth.
Teeth.
That means chum or dog salmon. And here's a sentence.
Teeth to this lean.
Dog salmon too, they swim to Teslin in the fall. Let's hear it again.
Teeth.
Chum or dog salmon. Gunash Jish Tuchune Lance Twitchell, Gold Belt Heritage Foundation, and the University of Alaska Southeast for this audio.
Keishi Besikuli is Kokhetan and a child of a Yenyedi man. She is from Daislin and grew up spending time in Teslin. She earned a master's degree in Indigenous Languages and Linguistics from Simon Fraser University and interviewed many speakers for the Hashagun language series. She is currently translating projects for the Children of the Taku Society.
Tune in next week for another Klinget Word of the Week from KTOO.
You're listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. That right there was a little bit of Rory Stitt, a recorded bit of Rory Stitt from 2005. That's amazing. Rory Stitt is a Juno performance icon, known for his powerhouse performances and shows you probably saw, Rocky Horror, Tommy, Hedwig and the Angry Inch. Rory thrilled audiences. But for a couple of decades now, Rory has been mostly known for his sound composing and designing and all of the prowess in a variety of venues around town. But this Saturday, September 13th, at the Loading Dock, Rory returns to the stage with a bevy of all-star talents. It's a non-alcoholic, all-ages show. You can find more info tickets at jahc.org. And while you do that, we welcome to the studio now to chat more about this one-off concert extravaganza. We have Rory Stitt along with us. Rory, gunath chi shwasiti. How are you today?
I'm very well. Thank you, Boston.
Awesome. And then we also have performers and also sound technicians, but also producers I believe we have Taylor Dallas Vidic. Welcome, Taylor.
Thank you, Boston.
Wasiati, how are you today?
So great.
Awesome. And also, wait, where's my camera? Why isn't my camera showing up for you guys? That's weird. Whoa, that was totally working right before the show. All right, video people on the live stream. Sorry, I don't know what's going on with that. Anyway, I also have Betsy Sims here from Studio A. Welcome, Betsy.
Thank you, Boston.
Gunnath Cheesh. Okay, so let's find out a little bit about how this concert came together. Rory Stitt and the Ruiners. Where do we start? Who begins?
Do you want to, Taylor?
I will attempt to answer this, and I'll let Betsy and Rory hop on in. Rory occasionally comes to town to work with Perseverance Theater. Rory right now is working on What the Constitution Means to Me, and it's so fun that that means that Rory gets to come back to Juno. Back in June, we did a semi-private iteration of a show like this at Gold Town, and it was sold out word of mouth. So this time, we are ramping it up a little bit.
Awesome. Okay. So the first one obviously went well.
Yeah, it was very fun.
It was an invite only. We just kind of invited some friends and just to give Rory a chance to get back on the stage in front of us.
Yeah, because Rory, I feel like in the last, as I mentioned in the intro there, for the last, at least I know for me, the last 10, 15 years here in Juno, I've mostly seen your name associated behind the scenes with sound design, sound composition. So I'm curious, what was the fire that sort of started to well within you to begin performing publicly again?
Well, I don't know if there was a fire involved. I think that I moved away from performing 15 plus years ago because I had been in a performance mode for at least 10 years specifically, and I had kind of hit a plateau that I felt like I wasn't really growing from or moving forward anymore in that direction. And so I had to kind of refocus and pivot to something where I could still feel like I was pushing my creativity forward. Mm. And I think that involved a lot of collaboration, which theater is so good at, you know, bringing artists together and creating something together. And I had been working on my own stuff mostly by myself, you know, isolated and then bringing it out. And so I pivoted to the collaboration. And then after now 10, 15 years of doing that exclusively almost, I just started to swing back the other way and be like, oh, but what does it mean to then merge the two, you know, performance and solo performance, but also with collaboration and with all the things that I've learned from doing theater and being a collaborative artist. So my desire in coming back to performing was not to play solo and carry the weight by myself, but to involve many of the very, very talented people I know who are in Juno and explore some of that networking that I have here from so many years of working here.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah, I understand that, like just the feeling of going to different things to keep the creativity going in terms of, because performing for so, I did that as well. I wasn't a singer, but performing for so long, you start to look for other ways to have the outlet, right? And designing and composing and all of that gave that to you. But then bringing this sense of collaboration back and then involving, this is a large group that we have on Saturday night.
Very large.
Yes.
I think, even though you can't see, because I don't know why my video camera isn't working, but I do have a little clip that that Taylor sent me here. Let me see if we can hear. This is just a picture of 20 seconds of rehearsal from the other night. That's just a little tease. There's like 10 people in that little tiny room figuring it out. And Taylor, you I'm imagining that you are Dallas and the Marmots. Is that your production arm now?
Yeah. Well, it's quietly been my production arm, but I decided to put it on a piece of paper in front of people this time.
Ah, yay. I see. That was a surprise for me. I was like, what is this? So that's kind of cool. And so you and then Betsy, along with Studio A, are producing this event. What is involved in producing this event?
Yeah, well, we're ticketed this time, which is exciting because we've got 10 people on stage, and Betsy and then Zach Pease is running lights for us. So lots of working artists that are putting a lot of effort into this show. So we have tiered ticketing available at jack.org. It also means, in Boston earlier, you said this was an all-ages show. This is, in fact, an over 21 show. TK McGuire's has stepped in to help us with a bar. So you can still come if you are with a parent or guardian. But it is now an over 21.
Okay, so that's a change.
That
from
is a
what
change.
It had been.
Correct. Okay, okay. Yes. So that was a mistype. Things are ever changing. So production wise, we're ramping up the lights. Betsy's always killer on sound, and we're bringing out some VIP tables. You know, just that little extra zhuzh that makes an event a slightly more sparkly, perhaps.
Nice. Okay. And can you tell me a little bit about some of the, because we're talking about collaboration and all of that. I know there's tons of people involved in this. Who else is going to be there on Saturday night?
Production-wise?
No, like in performing.
Oh,
performing.
Oh, who isn't going to be there?
That's what I'm saying.
There's, Dale McFarlane. He'll be on the drums. Mm-hmm. And Keenan Wright is joining us on percussion, on all kinds of percussion.
And he'll be playing up at Eagle Crest with Rain Dogs earlier in the day.
Just
he's got
before.
A full packed day.
Yes.
Then he's running it on. And then Albert McDonald is on bass. Spencer Edgar's on sax. Two guitar players, which is so ballin'. Ben Higdon and Alan Young. And then myself, Marion Call, and Kelsey Riker are the trio of backup singers.
Awesome. That's amazing.
It's going to be full. It's going to be a big room.
And this loading dock, this performance space, educate me on this performance space.
It's a brand new space, and this will really be the first gig that's happened in it.
It used to be where the Juno Empire was printed.
Mm.
We're saying it's nestled between Wells Fargo and Amalga. It's right across the street from Lemon Tree.
Oh, okay. Awesome. And it's like a new vent. How many people does it hold?
Well, I think if
we're going to find out on Saturday.
Yeah,
it was a small stage. I think it can fit up to like 100 people.
Okay.
But we're going to take up, there's so many people on the stage.
We have a cast of thousands.
The stage is going to take up a significant chunk of the room.
Yeah.
So we're probably not going to have more than like 70 people at each show.
So what I'm getting at is if that you want to be a part of this, you got to get tickets ASAP, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
They just started to kind of take off today because it's Juno and people wait till now.
Yeah.
So definitely there may be a couple tickets at the door if we still have space, but I wouldn't count on that.
Yeah.
I see. Okay. And so what kind of music are we going to be hearing, Rory, in terms of the selections? Is this some of the stuff that you've created, or is it covers, or is it a mix of stuff? What are we going to be listening to on Saturday?
It's all covers.
Okay.
You know, I'm stepping back into performing, and so the first thing is to get my performance sea legs under me, and then the next step would be thinking about original composition and what that means, and is that what I want to do is in terms of moving forward with performance. But so this is a really broad selection of really great music that I love, and I think covers everything from early soul and R&B all the way up to the 2000s indie rock and everything in between. Not always the number one hit for these groups, but often B-sides are in there, I think.
Ooh, like a B-side or a deep cut?
Deeper cut selections, yeah. Undersung heroes, I think, for sure.
Okay. Can you give me a tease of a couple of the songs? Like, just what the names are. I'm not saying you have to sing them, but... Or do we want to keep that as
top secret.
It's top secret. Okay.
It's top secret.
I'm so excited about so many of them that I'm like, come on, Rory, just give them one. But
you could pick one and give them.
Just one little tease.
We're doing a Joni Mitchell song.
Okay.
And there's some disco in there. Mm-hmm. So like we're gonna try, you know, if we set up the space right, there's gonna be a little bit of room for dancing for the really brave souls in the back, because it is such a groovy set.
It really, really is fun.
Joni Mitchell, super groovy. Yeah. You know,
Joni Mitchell. I can say artist for sure. We're doing some Toto. We're doing some Bee Gees. Mm-hmm. We're doing a little Joe Cocker.
I see a lot of Joe Cocker.
Yeah, a good amount of Joe Cocker.
Yeah.
Stevie Wonder, Annie Lennox.
Oh, wow.
Amy Mann.
Amy Mann.
Amy
Mann.
Oh, my
gosh.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's
hot.
Yeah.
That's going to be the place to be on Saturday night, it sounds like to me.
I keep telling people that with all the stuff happening in the world and how much intensity there is, just going to have – it's going to be really fun.
Yeah. It's a fun
just
set. Yeah, it's a
people
fun set.
Will leave feeling really good, and I feel like anything we can do.
And there's apparently a pre-dinner
concert? Go to dinner and
go
then
to
come.
Dinner and then come.
There are two showings. There's a 6:30 and a 9:30. So
that's what I wanted to clarify.
Yeah, so either you can make a date night where you go out, get some food, and then come join us for the late night 9:30, or come to the 6:30 and then go get a drink afterwards.
Ah, so it's technically a two-off, right?
There's two shows.
Two shows. Yep. So it's not a one-off. There's two shows one night.
Yes.
I see.
Ten performers, 20 songs. Is that right?
it's a one-off doubleheader.
Yeah.
Cool. And this new space is at 233 2nd Street. It's near the corner of 2nd and Franklin. And it's called The Loading Dock.
Working title.
Working title for the space.
Yeah.
And this is going to be one of the first things in there. That's really cool. We're talking about Rory Stitt, Kelsey Riker, Marion Call, Taylor Vidick, Spencer Edgars, Dale McFarlane, Keenan Wright, Albert McDonald, Alan Young, Ben Higdon. Like, all the hot takes going on here in Juneau. That's going to be so fun. Well, congratulations on getting this together. This is going to be really fun. I look forward to it. And it sounds like Betsy said, turn your brain off, go and have a little bit of fun in this day and age. Yes, Taylor.
Yeah, just tickets are available at jahc.org, jahc.org.
Yes, jahc.org is the place to go for tickets. And it sounds like there's only going to be a few, so you better get them.
Get
is
down
what I'm saying.
On it.
And you could go twice if you really want.
Wow. Yes.
Super fans. Super
fans.
You
want to feel really good when you go.
All right. Well, I appreciate y'all being here today. Thank you so much. It's Rory Stitt and the Ruiners this Saturday night over at the Loading Dock. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you.
Is there somewhere online that we can follow this particular endeavor or your endeavors for future stuff?
Just got to keep watching out for our names, I suppose.
We'll come in and talk to you.
Okay, come in and talk to me. And also, I know you create Facebook groups too, but I was just curious.
Thank you.
Okay, you're listening to Juneau Afternoon. This is a savory moment.
Step into the savory moment. There's a place in the Finger Lakes region of New York State with a lovely name. It's called the Hazelnut Kitchen. Let's go there now. From Ithaca, we head north to 53 East Main Street, Trumansburg. Keep an eye out for a cobalt blue facade, wide door the color of a terracotta pot, and two big windows softened by lace curtains. We step into a homey dining room with worn wood floors and round tables draped in linen. A current of smells rushes over us, the toasty crumb of schnitzel, the honey of winter squash, the herbaceous nip of parsley root. But today, we've come for just one thing, hazelnut butter cake with sea salt caramel. New York State is famous for its tree nuts, black walnuts, butternuts, chestnuts, shagbark hickories, and of course, hazelnuts. Encased in an acorn-like husk, hazelnuts have the flavor of sweet hay. The Hazelnut Kitchen makes its signature cake by blanching hazelnuts, sloughing off the fibrous skins with a tea towel. This delicacy is called a shortened cake, moist, dense, and fattened with butter rather than oil. The other scent in the Hazelnut Kitchen is that of caramel sauce. Made in the usual way by simmering sweeteners, bakers here use a mix of sugar and light corn syrup until deeply colored. then stirring in heavy cream amidst a fury of spattering bubbles. The final touch comes with a knob of butter and a generous half tablespoon of flaky sea salt. Hazelnut butter cake with sea salt caramel is served in a single layer wedge, drizzled with big spoonfuls of sticky amber sauce. Find the full recipe at savorymoment.org. From the studios of KCAW in Sitka, Alaska, I'm Beth Short Rhodes. Whatever is on your dinner table tonight, may you savor the moment.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
Listening to Juno Afternoon on your community-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. September is Suicide Prevention Month, and I am here with Jessica Gray from NAMI Juno and the Suicide Prevention Coalition, which is a chapter of NAMI Juno, basically, right?
That's right. Yeah, yeah, program.
Good at the program, yes. Good at cheese for being here today. Jessica, how are you? Wasiati.
I'm well, thank you.
Yeah. So tell me first a little bit about this month and what its goal is.
So Suicide Prevention Month is really a time to bring suicide out of the shadows. It gives us a chance to talk about a subject that's often really taboo and like left in the silence. It gives us a chance to raise awareness, to reduce the stigma, and to remind people that suicide is preventable. It's all about starting these conversations that are often considered really uncomfortable or difficult. And so it gives us this opportunity to practice having those conversations and getting things out in the open a little bit more.
Do you feel like this day and age, in terms of our, it feels like in the zeitgeist of the world, we seem to be a little bit more aware of mental health issues and suicide prevention. It seems like we are talking about it a little bit more. Is that the case?
I think that there has been definitely a shift, but I still think that suicide is one of those topics that people just tend to veer away from. And I think that's because suicide touches almost everyone in some way. And it can be really uncomfortable. And so it's so important to break that silence and to talk openly about it and let people know that it's okay to ask for help and bring in that kind of help-seeking behavior.
Right.
You know, that to let them know that support is available, because I think people are so afraid to say that they're feeling down or to say that they're feeling unwell. There is more conversations of mental health at a high level, but then when it gets to the personal level, people still, you know, shy away.
And it's because I feel like it's also one of those things where, and this month and also the events that you have coming that are about supporting this month and just in general that you have throughout the year, really to let people know that they're not alone, right? Because
that's right.
I feel like that is a huge thing, because I feel like a lot of folks feel alone in their feelings, but we all have them.
That's right.
right?
Yeah, we all have them. And I think that there's also, when it comes to suicide, this myth that talking about it is going to somehow make it worse, or that we're going to put the idea in people's heads. But that's not the case at all. It's actually the opposite. Talking directly about suicide can actually reduce the risk of suicide. And it's just like another misconception around suicide is that it happens without warning. But that's not the case either. We know that there are signs, and we just need to be able to talk about it some more so that we can know what to look for.
Yeah, absolutely. And you have both, you have support groups, right?
Yes. Yeah. We have several different support groups at Thammy Juno. We have Connections, DBT, and Family Support Groups. And we actually have a brand new one, which includes a little bit of art therapy.
Oh, cool.
And, of course, for our survivors of suicide loss, we do have a grief support group for them that happens monthly as well.
Okay, right. So there's there's support for all different stages and activities in this. For people. And you can go to namijuno.org, N-A-M-I, juno.org, and you can find out all about those programs. I also wanted to make sure that we highlight, because I think this thing is really cool, the Canoe Healing Journey event. Yes. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so it's going to be an afternoon of remembrance, connection, and healing. Is taking place at Sandy Beach from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. in the afternoon this Saturday. And we're going to have a land acknowledgement, a smudging ceremony, some guest speakers, a community potluck, some plant medicine activities, and we're also going to have a fire dish ceremony. So the fire dish ceremony is really special because it allows people in the community to bring in one of their favorite dishes from the loved one and then throw it into the fire and give it to them in the afterlife.
Oh,
yeah.
I've never heard of that. That's really cool.
Yeah. And we're going to have a dance performance as well. And then, of course, at the end, we're going to get out on the water. Hopefully, fingers crossed that the weather cooperates.
Not like today, hopefully, because this is nasty out there today. And that's Saturday, September 13th from 11 to 1 p.m.
That's correct.
Okay. And then you also have a couple other events this month that are happening. Can you tell us about those?
Yeah. So we have a wall of remembrance that is taking place all throughout the month. It's down at the Jack. And right when you come in through the doors, it's to the left-hand side. And it's for survivors of suicide loss. It's a place where they can commemorate their loved one and pay tribute to their loved one and just leave a message of hope. So that's out throughout the entirety of the month. And then we also have a book club taking place at the Douglas Public Library. Our first book club meeting already happened on September 6th, but we have a second one taking place on September 27th from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m., where we're going to be discussing The Midnight Library, a book by Matthew Haig.
Okay.
And it talks about suicide ideation. So again, just getting that opportunity to talk about this topic that's so taboo.
Do you, for the book club, is it best to try to read the book before the book club happens?
Yeah. So we, so in our meeting that we had on September 6th, we gave out copies of the books and we kind of had a little bit of a book talk and a meet and greet, got to know each other a little bit and what drew us to this topic. And then we're going to meet again at the end of the month and have those more in-depth content discussions.
I see. Yeah. If somebody missed that meeting on the 6th, can they reach out to you and maybe
Absolutely.
Still get a copy of the book? And
yeah,
stuff?
We still have some copies left over, so there is opportunity to continue to get on to our Facebook and to our social media and other websites to register.
Okay, so the best place to is, because on your socials, there'll be links to register for the book club, and then that will get people initiated and get a copy of the book and stuff.
Yes.
Because they have a couple weeks to read it. It's not, is it huge? How long will it
take? No, it's not a huge book at all. It's and it's actually very reader friendly, I would say. It's reads more like a young adult novel. And so it's not too thick either.
Okay, good. So a quicker read.
Yes.
So those who might be getting a late start can head over to namijuno.org or find them on Facebook or on the socials, get registered for the Suicide Prevention Book Club. They're going to be reading The Midnight Library by Matt Haig. And then this Saturday, the annual Community Potluck and Canoe Healing Journeys event sounds wonderful. And then also you mentioned at the Jack, there is the Wall of Remembrance just to the left as you walk in.
Yes.
Okay. And is there other things that folks could be doing this month outside of attending these events to help bring awareness in their own lives?
I think that the biggest thing people can do is just reach out to their loved ones, just give an opportunity to check in on them, to see how they're doing, to have these mental health conversations can be really powerful. Like any small gestures of connection can really show that you know you care and that they're not alone.
And I want to make sure that we mention the hotline. Can you make sure you mention that number for folks who may not know about that?
988 is a 24/7 available hotline for folks to reach out to in the community. You can call or you can text. And if you have a 907 number, it will take you to the care line here in Alaska, the Alaska Care Line, which actually gets you in touch with someone from the state who kind of knows what's happening and is Alaska lives and breathes the same air as us and knows what's going on.
A little more aware of our darkness throughout the winter and thing like that.
Yeah.
Okay, that's great. Jessica Gray from the Juno Suicide Prevention Coalition, which is a program of NAMI Juno. I really appreciate you being here today. Did we get everything in there? Did we get it all in?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much.
NAMIJuno.org is the place to go. You are listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO. Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Alaska Airlines Club 49. Membership information available at club49hub.com.
Is the cure for cancer a jog? This is Sandra Tinglo with the lowdown on science. Run for your health, they say. But can you outrun a tumor? Enter Katherine Phelps from the University of Pittsburgh. Her team studied melanoma-prone mice. Some exercised, others stayed sedentary. Surprisingly, tumor growth in runners slowed down by 50%. Why? Exercise activated gut bacteria. This boosted production of a chemical called formate. Formate revs up tumor-hunting immune cells. Without microbes or formate, the benefits vanished. This may be observed in humans, too. Cancer patients receiving immune-boosting medicine with higher serum formate levels showed increased survival. So your next treadmill session might burn more than calories. You could be reformating your gut against a cancer comeback.
From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Mike Lane. Today is Wednesday, September 10th, and on this day, back in 1907, the Tongass National Forest Reserve was established as the Tongass National Forest. Now you know. That's a look back at this day in 1907.
That was Mike Lane with the On This Day segment. You can listen to Mike every morning on Morning Edition between about 5:30 and 8:30 a.m. You are listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. You can also join us on our live stream on KTOO's YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram pages. I figured out the camera issue. It's back up, so we can see our guests, which is fantastic. And Junoite and author Tripp J. Krause had an idea to host an all-ages sober alternative to open mic nights. Well, it's now celebrating its second birthday this Sunday, September 14th from 2 to 4 p.m. at the Gold Town Nick, with readers encouraged to share their own work or the work of a favorite poet, and other writing is also welcome. And here to tell us more is Tripp Krause. Gunath Cheesh, how you do? Thank you so much, Tripp, for coming in. It's a pleasure to see you. Wasa Iti, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, Boston. Thanks for asking.
Awesome. So let's go back to the beginning real quick. What I mentioned it there in the intro that you had this idea, but what spurned that idea?
You know, when I first got into Juno, Whoosh was still going on, and it was such a great platform to hear like new poets and young poets, and I really loved it. Mm. I moved away, so I didn't get to really experience it, and then obviously the pandemic happened. And then I came back, and Whoosh really wasn't active, but my friend Mike Christensen and a friend had started another open mic poetry night, and called Moonlit Poets, which I was able to participate in and, and do some hosting for that. But I also really loved, like, I was participating in the Crystal Open Mics a lot. And it's just a different space to be in a bar with people who are drinking, trying to do poetry, and a sea of people who are musicians. And no slight to the musicians at all, but it's hard to, like, really carve out a space to do poetry.
Right.
It's hard to be vulnerable. And so, you know, with some encouragement of some folks, I kept doing it. And then eventually the Crystal remodeled and we lost the space for Moonlit. So we had to try to find some alternative. And I was really missing that open mic poetry experience. And so as somebody who had fairly recently, I think I was within like 6 months of my own sobriety journey, had wanted a space that was open to everyone.
Not a bar, right?
Not a bar, yeah. Right? And so that actually opened it up so that we could include young folks who are maybe in high school or under the age of 21. And that has like really opened up within the last probably year. We've had a couple of young people who have come and shared poetry. Mm. And it's just, this is the kind of environment I wish I would have had whenever I was growing up, was being able to have a space where you can be vulnerable with people who are supporting you, giving you feedback, and like getting that experience of being up there in front of a microphone. And yeah, I had no intention of this thing being a long-term plan. And, you know, quickly we had 1 year and now we're at 2 years and we're not quite sure where we're going yet, but everybody seems to be really excited about the event. And last month we had, I think, about 22 people total who came, and about 18 of those read. So it was our biggest event yet. So just kind of throwing a big 2 year bash and seeing how many folks who come out and are able to share and see where it goes from there. And hopefully we're celebrating 3, 4, or 5 years down the road.
So give us the details on Sunday, time and place and all that. I have the flyer up here for those on the live stream, but for those who can't see that.
Yeah. So we always host it every second Sunday. So like first Friday or second Saturday, it's the second Sunday of every month. And I do that intentionally. If we cancel, we don't move it around in the month. We just cancel it outright. But it's every second Sunday. So it's this Sunday, September 14th from 2 to 4 p.m. at the Gold Town Nickelodeon.
Okay, that's great. And is it usually at the Gold Town?
We've almost always done it at the Gold Town. One time we had a pop-up at Alaska Robotic in December because I was out of town. And because I work part-time at the Gold Town, I'm able to like open up and get everything set up for everybody.
Okay,
so we had to pivot a little bit for that one month. But for the most part, I think we've always had it at the Gold Town other than that 1 month.
And I love that you are encouraging folks to either A, read their own writing, or just get comfortable, pick a favorite poet or even a piece of prose, a narrative, whatever it is you really want to read, you're able to do that, right?
Yeah. You know, it started out as poetry reading because that's the thing that I enjoy. But as I wanted to make it more inclusive for other folks, we've had essayists, memoirists, fiction writers, folks who have come out. We haven't really done any like plays or anything like that because it's a little bit of a different format. But, you know, I've been experimenting in my own writing and playing around with that platform. And yeah, just encouraging people to read and get up and, you know, that public speaking aspect of it. It's not something we have, like we're forced to do it in high school and college, but as adults, we don't really get those opportunities to practice and use those muscles.
I don't know if it's still accurate, but years ago, there was a study done. I'd have to fact check myself here, but speaking in public was one of the highest rated fears over death. Like people just really don't like speaking in public. And so any opportunity to practice that, in like you said, in a safe environment where everybody's welcoming, there's no there's really no, what do you call that? No, you know, risk,
right?
There's no risk involved. Nobody's going to laugh at you unless your material's funny, right?
Sometimes that's the case.
That is fun sometimes. So it's just really, it sounds like a really warm, welcoming environment. And I know that you had published a book of poetry recently, right? But then you also, like you mentioned play, so you made me think of, you wrote like one of your first plays, right?
Yeah, it was a short play for Insomniacs, and it was about clown cannibalism in a small town diner.
I remember that one very distinctly.
And I really love that format, and I think that was a thing that as a kid I didn't really understand or have access to in a way that like I understood. And now as I've gotten older and I've seen that like the Arthur Miller plays aren't the only plays out there. There are a lot of other folks who are out there, and I've really been enjoying diving into that medium and that platform. And now, as I'm starting to play around with my own poetry, like one of my favorite exercises is taking a poem and breaking it down and trying to write it into a script so that it's like two characters talking to each other.
Interesting. Okay.
It's amazing. And to not feel like you're confined to a genre.
Mm-hmm.
I like to bend genres and genders and sexualities, and like I like to play with these different formats and these binaries that we sort of have, and I like doing that with my own whether it's poetry or prose or fiction or playwriting,
mm-hmm.
and just really encourage that. But you know, if you like a form, we've had villanelles. I don't think we've had any guzzles, but we've had sonnets. And we've had some like really great, a friend of mine came and, read some Rumi.
Nice.
And so that was, it's just like kind of an open format, and I come up and I share for about 15 minutes, and then we have an open mic sign up and we'll run through that. And if we go all the way through that, we just do a show of hands of like, who wants to go again, until we run out of time. And then once we're done with time, we all go home.
And there's no admission.
It's free. We will take donations. They mostly go to Gold Town, but if you want to donate, you can. We love supporting Casa and some of the events that she has here, which we've sort of talked about a little bit already on the show today. And there's snacks and drinks, and but it's free. One of my big things that I really think a lot of art should be accessible, and it should be accessible in a way that you don't necessarily have to charge.
Mm.
You know, I understand like folks like have to make a living and things like that. But a lot of my events, whenever I produce them, I try to create a space in which like there's a free portion of that, so that like you can just come in and you can experience it. You don't have to worry about whether you can afford the admission.
Right. Absolutely. That's such a wonderful thing to just have a warm, welcome, open space where anyone can share. And even if you don't want to share, like you may. Yeah. You may show up and just watch for a couple weeks before you share.
Yeah.
So you're more than welcome to do that.
We've had people who just come in and just watch. Last month we had somebody who came and watched, and he read. And sometimes people are like, oh, I'm too shy to read. But they'll sit there and they'll see other people kind of do it. And it's like, oh, maybe I can do that. And so empowering them to sort of step into that and enjoy
That's
it.
So cool. And where do people find information about Second Sunday Poetry Jam? Is there a Facebook group or a page, or do they follow you?
Usually I'll post an event and I'll share it out that way.
Okay.
Right now, I think there's an event on the I don't know if it's on the Jack calendar yet. I posted it. Gold Town usually has a little flyer of like general information for Poetry Jam. There's not really a group or anything. It's pretty ad hoc.
Pretty low key, as the kids say. but one thing you can do is follow, like you said, follow GoldTownNick.com. They're posting all their events all the time. It's the second birthday. Congratulations. Yeah. That's so cool. Trip Krause with the Second Sunday Poetry Jam. It's a sober, all-ages alternative to open mic nights. You can find out more at GoldTownNick.com or just show up this Sunday for the second birthday celebration at 2 p.m. over at the Gold Town. Thanks, Trip. Gwyneth Cheech.
Yeah, Chi McGwitch.
You're listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO. Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Alaska Airlines Club 49. Membership information available at club49hub.com.
Carry on with your business. There is nothing to see. You must be pretty desperate if you've come out looking for me. You regret how we parted. That is well understood. Now please leave me to sip on my wine and to wander the woods. Didn't I go where you sent me? Didn't I meet your demands? Didn't I answer your questions? Didn't I shake all your hands? Didn't I do the best I can? Wasn't I better than any man? Wasn't I cool and collected when all of the chips hit the fan? Wasn't I cool? Wasn't I? Ask how I am doing. I assure you I'm fine. Just another man helping himself to what's rightfully mine. Did you say I look tired? I'm not tired at all. I was trying to shatter a ceiling where he built a wall. Didn't I check all the boxes? Didn't I follow routine? Didn't I travel the high road? Never was petty or mean. And did I run a clean campaign? Did I inform and entertain? And did I let down my guard because my rival had half of a brain? Did I let down, didn't I? All my credentials didn't matter. All my service and nobody cares. They tried to purchase the world on a platter. Phoned in some favors and now it is theirs. You know it brings me no joy to see you in this hole. Oh, what the man would destroy just to feel in control. So goodbye. Look out below, I'm going high. I know you want your closure, cause the future's unclear. I feel no obligation to tell you what you wanna hear. Would you like me to save you? Would you like me to quit? Or would you prefer it if I taught myself how to knit? Couldn't you mind your own business? Couldn't you just leave me be? You brought this all on yourselves, gang. Don't try to pin it on me. Couldn't I peacefully retire into these hills I so admire? Couldn't I serve up the tea while he sets the whole party on fire? Couldn't I serve? Couldn't I? And when they write this history, I'll take the moral victory. Wasn't I right at the center of all that this country could be? Wasn't I right? Wasn't I?
That's a little Molly Lele with Pantsuit Sasquatch that she did live in here on the red carpet stage a couple years ago. Thank you so much, Molly Lele, for that. You are listening to Community Supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO in Studio 2K, dedicated to Carolyn Hobbs Peterson. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. This Friday night, former Junoite and comedian Corin Hughes returns for a one-night-only show of comedy that will feature special guests and some surprises. It's Friday night. At 9:30 at the Gold Town Nick. It's interestingly coming after, I think, like the opening screening of This is Spinal Tap 2, which is pretty fun, which I think she's playing at like 7 or 7:30. Yeah. So you're going to be following This is Spinal Tap 2. But anyway, welcome now to the studio, Corin Hughes, along with fellow comedian, and I think they're related. And she might have another job that you know her well from in the community. Alicia Hughes-Scandies is also here. Wasiati Gunachich for being here, Alicia.
Thank you for having us.
And Corin, welcome back to Juno.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Paul.
So you went to college here.
I did, yeah.
With your sisters. And then you've been in and out. Like, you've gone to L.A., you've come back, then now you're in New York.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I live in New York City.
You live in New York City,
yeah.
And you are plying the trade, as it were?
I am trying. Sorry for the clear my throat and the mic. I've just been doing a lot of comedy out there, and it's tough, but it's a lot of fun. It's a whole thing.
And before you left, I remember you all had a troupe that was here for, it feels like you did a couple years
couple
of shows.
Couple years.
I
we
would
had
say three
a
years,
era.
Right?
We had
three.
Like 2 or 3 year era.
And it was you, it was both of you plus Allison Wade, Allison Holtkamp at the time, mm-hmm. I think, but now Allison Wade.
Yeah.
Nate Williams.
Yeah.
And
Brady Engledew for
and
a time.
Brady, who's also still plying the, is he still doing comedy?
No, he's not. He's
because I know he had moved to like Arizona and was doing some comedy.
He did a little, but now he's working stuff.
He's an IT nerd right now.
IT nerd. Big okay. Time. That's good. So Corin, so what got you to go to New York to do comedy?
So I didn't actually go to New York for comedy. I went for love.
Okay.
But I yeah.
Well, that's a good reason too, I guess.
Right?
Yeah, it's a pretty good one. I was doing comedy prior to going. I was living actually in West Virginia.
Okay.
At another place to list, and I was doing some comedy there, and then started seeing somebody, moved up to New York. She was from New York.
I see.
So I lived with her, and then I was just doing comedy there, and that's where I've been.
And what's it like to do comedy in New York?
It's It's such a mix. I would say like, oh, it's tough. It's actually pretty easy, you know, because there's so much comedy and there's so much, there's so many venues and opportunities to do it.
Is it mostly like open mics that you do?
Most of the time, yeah, it's been open mics. I've been getting on shows more and more. My goal this going into this year, starting in January, was to be on at least a show every month, and I crashed that goal already. I crushed it before the year.
What do you mean by being on a show?
Like being in a paid audience show, like doing a set in front of a real crowd and not comedians.
Ticketed show, not an open mic.
Right, ticketed show, not an open mic. Okay, yeah. I see. And how much do you, when you do a ticketed show like that, what do you do? Like, isn't the phrase in the comedy world the tight five?
Tight five most of the time, yeah.
Okay, so you're doing a tight five?
But some of the shows I have, there've been seven minute sets. Quite a few of them. But in general, it's 5 minutes.
Now, let me talk to you about the idea of creating 5 minutes or 7 minutes. Because people think, oh, that's not a lot of time. But jokes are sometimes fairly short unless they're taking a long-form story route.
Right.
But how many jokes do you have to figure out how to have for 5 minutes?
Right. I don't know a number. I will say that, yes, 5 minutes can be an eternity. Sometimes it can be,
especially if you're bombing.
Yeah, especially
if they're not getting your brand of humor.
Right, if you're not connecting. It feels like a half an hour that you're up there, but it really varies. But yeah, you could fit a lot of jokes. There's some people that'll just it's joke like every other word is it's joke.
Yeah.
You could cram a lot in 5 minutes. I have been known to try to do that, and I realize that it's not my style.
That's not your vibe.
Not my vibe, and I crash and burn when I try to squeeze too much in.
I'm just curious, what's like the worst heckle that you've had? Have you had
worst
somebody heckle you?
Well, I'll tell you this. I was on I did a talent competition, and I lost to a kid who juggled oranges. Not quite a heckle, but and he dropped the oranges twice. So
he dropped the oranges twice and still beat you.
He beat me. So
All right.
Maybe a demoralizing experience.
That's more crushing to the soul.
To be fair, he also was doing comedy in between the juggling.
Oh, while he was juggling.
Yeah. So it was a whole thing. He had music playing. He had an outside of the box kind of performance I wouldn't really categorize. So I give him props for that.
So this show that we're talking about, which is this Friday night at 9:30 p.m., it's called Corn and Friends. It's going to be happening at the Gold Town Nick. How did this come about?
This came about because I saw all the nice, beautiful weather on Facebook that Juno was having, and I was like, man, I got to get up there for that. And so I booked my ticket.
You came yesterday, right?
I came yesterday.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks, Corn.
And I have no regrets at all for booking that ticket. I really did. I just missed Juno. I wanted to see friends and family, my family, Alicia, and my other sister, Kirsha, my mother live here, friends like you and everybody else. And then I was like, well,
Let me just get this clear, though. We're not friends.
Right. This is business.
To be honest.
This is business.
Okay.
Yeah. No,
that's cool. So you just thought, I'll come up for a visit and at the same time just like make it a work trip.
Tack on a show, yeah. And, because honestly, I did that roast of Juno a few years ago. Mm-hmm. That went really, really well. Mm-hmm. It was, standing room only. And it was so much fun. And Juno, this is where I started doing stand-up comedy, was in Juno with my sister and friends. And it's always been such a supportive and warm, welcoming crowd with comedy. And we've always had a blast. I haven't had, other than the show at the Tram, I haven't had a bad time doing stand-up comedy here. We did a show at the Tram, and it was like a open cafeteria vibe. There was everybody was talking. All the lights were on. We were just like a weird noise.
It's the Kevin Kline scene from Soap Dish. If you've ever seen the movie Soap
Dish. No, because I'm not 50, but I don't know.
Hey, now Alicia, you're on the Assembly, so
I am.
There's a lot of laughs that you could probably
come up
with.
Yeah, just nonstop
right?
laughs,
nonstop jokes.
Nonstop jokes there. Yeah, that is a more serious endeavor.
All you have to do as an Assembly person, though, is you can just walk up and your first line could be, how about that Eagle Crest gondola?
Oh, yeah.
The laughs. They're crying in the aisles. Yeah, it's been interesting. Talking about that previous era when we were doing comedy, really consistently. And
that was before you were on the Assembly.
That was, for me, I went directly from that into
the Assembly.
Okay. So my friends who knew me from comedy were very surprised that I was going into politics.
Mm-hmm.
My friends that I have from being in local politics are very surprised to hear that I had done stand-up comedy. Mm-hmm. So I think for me, they've been fairly separate worlds, although I do try to get my laughs in. Those meetings can get long. So I do try to get my laughs in.
Do you, so is this the first time on Friday that you're going to be doing some comedy since you've been on the assembly?
I think the first time in quite a while. I did do, I think whenever, when was that Supreme show? There was a New Year's Eve benefit. And I did actually do a set there. And that was so fun.
Okay.
She did great. She always does.
And, and so I know, I have known the whole time I've been doing the assembly that it fulfills me in a different way. I feel very passionate, trying to help the town, yada, yada. But I have always wanted to go back to doing stand-up. It's a very different part of my being.
I remember you being funny. I can't wait to see
it. Thanks. Thank you. Thank you. I'm so glad you remember that. A long time ago.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully that part of me hasn't died.
Yeah. No, politics can't kill everything. You have to have a sense of humor if you're going to be in politics.
That is true. This is true.
Have a laugh at yourself, please.
So, Corin, what else can we expect on Friday? Who else can we expect and what's on the docket for Friday?
Sure. I'm going to host a show.
Yeah.
And so you'll see me a lot. I will start us off. I'm going to bring on a friend of ours, Clint Farr.
Okay,
who's
Clint
a local,
Farr, yeah.
You know, everybody, most people know him, I think. Mm-hmm. Great guy, very funny family man.
Yeah.
He's worked actually once or twice with Club Baby Seal. I think he was on one of the shows. And he's just naturally funny and a very smart writer. And so he'll come up. I think I'll have Alicia up. And then I do have another guest that'll be, I think, just a surprise for now.
Honestly. Okay, a surprise for now.
Surprise who's he's funnier than I am. So, yeah, it'll be a good one.
And, yeah, it'll be fun.
I think it's just an hour. We're keeping it. It's nice and easy, just an hour of comedy.
Right.
You know, you get in, you get your laughs, forget about everything for a minute, and get back out to Friday night if you want to go out or go home.
Yeah. And this is the Gold Town, right?
This is at Gold Town Theater, yeah.
So we could buy candy and throw it at you if we're not enjoying ourselves.
Yeah, so we'll juggle some oranges. If you
juggle some oranges.
Some oranges.
I love that. Blaise
music. Fun.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because I feel like is the goal as a comedian to – what is that goal for you? Because I know a lot of people, like, they want to get a sitcom or they just want to tour nationally or they want to create an album. Where do you see it going? Do you feel like it's going to be taking you somewhere?
You know, it's taking me to bankruptcy, that's for sure. Uh-huh. But I like it. It's kind of it's very true, though. Seinfeld has a thing that he said about it. That he just wanted to be, when he was starting out comedy, like one of those guys. You know, that was his thing. And I do, there is a little bit of that aura of like, it's a very, it's such a unique animal. And it's so, it's timeless. And it's fun to just be a part of and, you know, to consider yourself that you are in that world is, I don't know, it's very fulfilling in some sort of way. I've always performed. So this is like my more... the area that I had the most interest in and with it. And it's just, when it's working, it's so enjoyable.
Yeah, because like the art, I remember seeing something from Seinfeld. You mentioned Seinfeld. I just remember watching, I think it was a special or something. And he was just talking about the art of the joke. Like there's such a, you know, people think it seems really easy, right? Like, I could do that. I could be funny. I could do that. But then he's like, you think years and how to create a joke, and it takes a long time to do it.
Right.
So it's really fascinating. I'm glad you're here. Welcome back to Juno. It's Corin and Friends. It's happening Friday night at the Gold Town Nick at 9:30 p.m. Corin, Alicia, a bunch of other stuff, people, and a special guest.
And a special guest. And tickets are only $10.
$10.
Super cheap. You go to the Comedy Cellar in New York, tickets there are like $15-$20. It is the best comedy in the world. I'm trying to keep it as far as its quality and it's super affordable.
I love that. Well, thank you so much. And where can people follow you online, Corin? Is it Instagram?
Yeah, on Instagram you can find me at Corin is a joke.
At Corin is a joke.
Yes.
All right. Thank you so much for being here. Good cheese.
Thank you, Boston.
Thank you for being.
That will do it for today's Juno Afternoon. Juno Afternoon airs Wednesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Ok Bay 91.7. Juno Afternoon is a project of the KTOO Arts and Culture team. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Gunath Cheech.